Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, as you know, we've come to that section in James chapter 5, which deals with the question of healing. I've called this divine healing for today. And it gives us God's instructions for healing for the illnesses of New Covenant Christians. We read in verse 13, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." A very important passage, and one that requires careful examination, because it's not easy just on the surface to understand exactly what is said here. But it is a passage that certainly deserves careful consideration to help address many of the misconceptions and difficulties that people have in regard to this question of healing. So that's where we are on this Tuesday, October 9. Thank you for joining me. And thanks, many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep the Beacon Broadcast on this radio station. As we have already seen, Pastor James begins by giving instructions for the ups and downs of life. First of all, for the common trials of life, and secondly, for the common joys of life. Is anyone among you suffering? This would be the common trials of life that all of us experience. And we have difficulties, we have suffering that comes into our lives. And what is the most appropriate response? Let him pray. That is the most appropriate response. I do not say it is the only response. James doesn't say it's the only response, but I say it's the most appropriate response. It is undoubtedly the most important response. Is anyone suffering? Pray. In fact, there's no question in my mind that God many times brings suffering into the lives of his children for the primary purpose of teaching us to pray, reminding us to pray, driving us to our knees in prayer, because we all too often neglect this important matter of prayer. So, when you are suffering, any kind of suffering, whatever it may be, what should you do? Get alone with God and pray. But secondly, he deals with the common joys of life. He says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone cheerful? Is anyone filled with joy? Is anyone feeling good, feeling happy because of the present circumstances of your life that have brought you some special joy? And that would be anything that brings an emotional uplift. And of course, there are many of those in life as well. Along with the many trials, there are also many joys. And what the joys are and how we respond to them can differ from person to person, depending upon who we are, what stage of life we are in, and many other things, where we live in the world. But when God brings into your life something that fills your heart with joy, then what's the appropriate response? Sing psalms. Someone might say, I would have thought, he would have said, the most appropriate response is to give God thanks. Praise God for the blessings you have received. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. But isn't singing psalms the same thing? Or maybe better put, isn't singing psalms one of the most important ways to praise God? Isn't that one of the most important forms of praise? Indeed, it is. And that is one of the primary purposes of our singing. There are two purposes given to us in the Scriptures. One is to give praise and worship to God, and the other is to instruct one another in the Word of God. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So here's singing psalms to the Lord. That's the appropriate response for the joys of life. I may be talking to some who don't sing. I notice from time to time, not very often, but I notice from time to time when our congregation gathers to worship, that there will occasionally be people in our congregation who do not join us in singing. Usually it's a visitor. I really can't think of any member or regular attender at Beacon who customarily does not sing. There have been times when I have noticed it as an aberration, as a change in usual habit, and that alerts me that there may be something going on in the life of that person that needs to be sought out, that needs to be investigated. But from time to time, we'll have visitors, and when I see someone who stands or sits, but most of the time we stand when we sing, who stands with silent lips and no effort to sing. It's not that they are struggling to sing because maybe we're singing songs that they're not familiar with, and that, of course, happens from time to time as well, but no effort to sing, apparently no desire to sing. That tells me that here is a heart that has some difficulty. Very possibly an unregenerate heart. In fact, I would say very probably an unregenerate heart, though it's possible that it could be a child of God who, for one reason or another, has become silent in regard to lifting praise to God in song. But I would urge you to understand that this is an important part of our worship of God, an important part of a right relationship with God, an important part of what God has asked of us in our relationship with Him. This is something that God has instructed us to do. It's not really optional. I think sometimes people think that singing is optional and I don't care for it. It's not optional. It's an instruction. We are supposed to do it. Here's what we read in Ephesians 5:18, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation." I trust we all agree that that is a requirement, a commandment. Christians are not to get drunk. Do you agree with me? The Scripture's clear about that. Christians are not to get drunk. That's a command. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And then this, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a command as well. That's what we are to be doing. If we are blood-bought children of God who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, this is the one of the normal responses of that. Speaking to one another, this is part of what we do in corporate worship and in teaching one another. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you see that twofold thrust? The singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is, on the one hand, a way of instructing ourselves and others in the Word of God, teaching. And on the other hand, it is a way of worshiping God, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. We've got something very similar, though not exactly identical, in Colossians chapter 3, which says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." God's word should permeate our lives. God's word should saturate our minds. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then this, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There it is again, the twofold purpose of Christian music. Number one, instruction of God's people in the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. That is, teaching and admonishing one another in the Word of God that dwells in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And now James is making reference to that second purpose of singing, not the instruction part, but the praise part. We give thanks to God by singing to Him. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Because in singing psalms, he is praising God, giving him thanks for the blessings of life that have filled his heart with joy at the moment. This idea of singing psalms, in the Greek, the word originally referred to singing to the accompaniment of a stringed instrument. But as the Greek language continued forward with its changes and developments, as all languages do, the word eventually just took on the concept of singing. And so originally, singing to the accompaniment of a stringed instrument. We think about David playing on his harp. David singing psalms and accompanying himself on his harp, his stringed instrument. David composing psalms, which of course is exactly what he did. Psalms of praise to God, psalms of petition, prayer to God, psalms of lament because of difficulties in his life, psalms of confession of sin. But above everything else, psalms of praise to God sung accompanied by a stringed instrument. That's originally the idea of singing psalms. And the idea is that singing psalms is primarily and foremost an expression of joy. It's an appropriate outlet for our joy. It is an appropriate way to express our praise and thanksgiving to God. Are you suffering? Pray. Are you cheerful? Praise God in song. Sing psalms to God to express your gratitude, to express your praise, to express your thanksgiving to Him. We'll return, Lord willing, tomorrow to take this up further. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.